You are listening to the Racing TV podcast On The Wire.
Hello and welcome to On The Wire with Johnny Ward, Gavin Lynch and Brendan Duke. And this is a Dublin Racing Festival special. We're going to discuss day one today, and that is a Saturday. So you'll have the guts of 2 days to ruminate over what is an unbelievably good card. But Dukey, the controversy about the man on the show with us over the last 24, 48 hours. It's been quite startling. Were you on the receiving end of a WhatsApp video or two yesterday, forwarded many times?
Forwarded many times is right. Yeah. I was delighted. When I heard the news that you'd secured Gavin for the podcast as well, because I as you know, Johnny, this is a very tough division, this racing podcast division. And we are in relegation. We're in the relegation zone, and we need a big Sam type figure, a notorious but effective character to drag us out of the mire. And who better than the recently notorious Gavin Lynch?
I hear you're a sexist now, Gavin.
Say that again.
I hear you're a sexist now, Gavin.
Well, I'm not, because if you live in the house with my better half and two teenage daughters, they'd soon put manners on you. The joke in question from Up in the Ante, I actually ran it past them at dinner last Saturday and they thought it was very funny. And even yesterday, I think Anne-Marie sent it to her friends and they all found it funny. Look, it wasn't meant to be offensive at all. It was only a bit of crack, a bit of fun. Hopefully nobody was offended. Sorry if they were. But I suppose with Up in the Ante, similar to yourselves, that we try and be informative but also just have a bit of fun as well, you know?
It turns out you actually... You do tell the odd joke, because you once had a round of golf with Frank Carson, you were telling.
Yeah, no, I was in a golf club one day. I was staying in a hotel and there was a golf club there. And I just happened to say to the guy, you know, if there's somebody around, I'd play nine holes. So I gave him my number. And the next thing, he rang me an hour later. He said, there's a guy here. So I said, grand. So he said, out in the putting green. So I went out to the putting green and I walked over. I said, are you looking to play nine holes? Yeah, yeah. And he walks over. He goes, Frank Carson, use a 10, sober. So I tell you, it was the best fun I ever had in a couple of hours. He was such a funny, lovely man. So, great guy.
Dukey, you probably had a round of golf with Willie Carson, did you?
No, I haven't had many rounds of golf. I'm a pitch and putt man. I do know Noel V. Ginnity from Going Racing. So he'd be of a similar vintage to Frank Carson, I'd say. And similarly to Frank, he's never off.
So the Willie Carson reference, of course, brings to mind that story of when he was asked by Lester Piggott to lend him a tenner, and Willie was reluctant to give him the tenner. But anyway, 2 weeks had passed, no sign of him to give him back the tenner. So he goes up to Lester and he's like, I just want, like, it's 2 weeks, Lester. Give me the tenner back. And Lester's like, what are you saying? I haven't even spent it yet. which brings us on to the spending of a few quid on bets at the Dublin Race Festival. It starts at 1:05 with the Nathaniel Lacey and Partner Solicitors 50k Cheltenham bonus for stable staff novice hurdle. And last year, this race produced a bit of a cracking finish.
Cobbler's Way is the leader from Longhouse Poet. Latest exhibitions on the outside of Elixir Danny, then Fury Road and Assemble. They're coming down to the final flight, three almost in line. From the inside out, Cobbler's Way, Longhouse Poet, and Latest Exhibition over the final flight. Latest Exhibition, Longhouse Poet giving best as Cobbler's Way. Latest Exhibition and Brian Cooper forging ahead of Longhouse Poet, and then Cobbler's Way has Latest Exhibition books his Cheltenham ticket. Judge second with Cobbler's Way fighting back on the inside of Longhouse Poet, then Fury Road, Elixir Daddy and Assemble.
Yes, Gavin Lynch. Last year, of course, it was a horse that would turn out to be very good novice chaser this year. And you'd have to say, Gavin, is a seriously good novice chase division this year. And Latest Exhibition probably isn't the best of them either.
Yeah, no, he's a decent horse. Ran a cracker, obviously, in the Bartlett. His old pal, Monkfish, has beaten him twice. I think Latest Exhibition will give him a huge race on Sunday if they meet over 2.5. But he was a very good winner last year. And as we all know, the Bartlett has worked out very well.
Yeah, and we'll chat about that in the second podcast of the weekend. So plenty to look forward to. Gavin, this race is fascinating as well, you'd have to say, because you look at Holy Macaponi, who's a horse who was sent off 7-4 after absolutely thrashing Guy or Dumanil at Punchestown, clearly didn't run at all his race at Navan the last day. That race was won by Ashley Bob, but you can now get 10-1 about Holy Macaponi.
Yeah, sure. You just which Holy Macaponi is going to show up. Was impressive, as you say, in Punchestown. The general feeling is that Gallard de Menil wasn't fit. A lot of Willie's horses maybe weren't fully fit in November. But yeah, he ran no race in Navan. So I'd be a Gallard de Menil fan, Johnny. I thought his time at Christmas was very fast. Obviously, the second, third have won well since. I've backed him to win the Ballymore at Cheltenham. So obviously, he'd want to win this race. But it's a very, very good race. Very deep.
Any concern that he's wearing a hood for the first time?
Yeah, that's interesting. I see Willie has done that with a couple of horses on Saturday. Pont of Anne is another one. Maybe he felt he was a bit keen and maybe he'll settle a bit better. It was 2.5 the last day. This is 2.6. The ground is going to be even softer than it was the last time. But he just looked like a possible star.
Yeah, from one to the other, Brendan Duke, what do you like in it? And would you be with or against Willie's horse, who in fairness travelled like a proper horse last day?
He really did, and you can bring Statler in. Obviously, Mr. Incredible beat Glens of Antrim, but they were a long way clear of the third. Both of their form, I would say, has had a boost since. As Gavin said, this is a proper race, but just at the prices, it looks like you're going to be getting a double figure price about Ashdale Bob, and I couldn't let him run at that price. Holy Macaponi, among others, disappointed in that Navan race, granted, but I still think it's solid form. Fakira seems to show up for work day in, day out. So I think beating him by 6 lengths, particularly how keen Ashdale was early in the race. Now, that's a slight worry again, because there's a few horses could go on here, but there's no obvious pace. But with 13 runners, I don't think it'll be a dawdle. And the annoying thing about Mace was he was just starting to drop the bridle coming to the second last. And he took off a half a stride too early and clipped the top and came down. But he's a wicked jumper. I wouldn't worry about that fall at all. I do rate that Navan form. And I think at a double figure price, he's a right bet each way.
Great, because I'm going to give a different horse entirely to the both of you. And I think the one thing about this festival is, living in Dublin myself, there's been a lot of rain over the last week or so. This is going to be testing ground by Leprous's standards. And Vanillier, Gavin Cromwell's horse, who stayed on really strongly at Limerick behind Farouk Delin. He's only had 3 hurdle starts and he's progressing. I think he's the proper stayer in this lineup. And he's 16-1. And just in general, Gavin, you're looking at a race like this and, you know, the fact that we've 13 runners and over 2 days, this festival in many ways is actually better than Cheltenham, because there aren't all these nonsense mares races and you kind of throw the best of, granted we don't have the British horse over, but we have the best of the Irish taking each other on.
Yeah, I was saying earlier on that, you know, in ways it is better than Cheltenham. Cheltenham's over 4 days. On Saturday we've got 4 grade ones, a grade two and 2 really good handicaps. So because it's condensed 15 races into 2 days, the quality per every half an hour or 40 minutes probably better, yeah?
Let's get on to the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase at 135, and be no surprise if this horse were to win it again.
It's Chacon Poursois in front. From Mint trying hard in second, mightn't be shaken off yet. Chacon Poursois from Mint at the final fence in the Ladbrokes Double Chase. Chacon Poursois from Mint, well clear of Castle Grace Paddy and then Ornua inside the final 200 yards and driven out by Paul Townend. Chacon Poursois from Mint. There's 4 lengths between them as they run towards the line, and it's Chacon Poursois who's set to resume normal service for Paul Townend and Willie Mullins. A result and a half for the Richies, with Mint second, Ornua third, and last of 4 to finish is Castle Grace Paddy.
Chacon Poursois, Gavin, it was interesting when they showed it, I think it was on RTP, they showed a kind of a camera cam at Christmas, and they were showing it from the perspective of Sean Flanagan following Chacon Poursois around on Put the Kettle On. It's absolutely staggering how he jumps this horse. He's unbelievable. And he looks flawless, apart from the fact that he doesn't entirely convince me the way he finishes his races with the view of Cheltenham. But will he win this?
Ah, he should do, Johnny. I won't back him. I won't even put him in multiples. I can't see an angle for a bet in this race whatsoever. I think last year was a race in TV. They actually showed when Min and Chacon Poursois met in this race. And they showed, they did a slow-mo at the second last.
Yeah.
And even though Min took off before Chacon Poursois landed and was gone running before Min, which is just, it's quite incredible because Min's a good jumper. In terms of betting angle, I can't really see one, Johnny. The favourite should win. Min should be second. Notebook should be third, but racing's never that simple. I'd imagine, would Shaq and Persuad make it or Min make it? Obviously, Willie will tell the two boys that only one of them should make it.
I don't know, Juki. Have you seen a better jumper than this fella? It's just breathtaking to watch him.
Yeah, well, certainly the second last in Leopardstown, which was in fact the last fence on his last run. He just seems to size up that fence. He actually did make a couple of sloppy errors early on in that race, which is unusual. So he may not be the best jumper I've ever seen, but of that second last in Leopardstown, he's incredible. And I'd imagine this is probably going to be a rinse and repeat of last year, where he will beat Min by three or four lengths.
The last five times that Fakhar Dudarwis ran over a trip of 2.5 or 2 miles or in between, he was sent off 2-1, 6-4, 11-8, 3-1, and 7-4. Now he's 33-1 here. My angle on the race would be I might have a few quid on him without Shaq and Persuad, because I think over 2 miles he's actually a very solid horse and probably needed the run at Nace and wouldn't have gotten the 3 miles and pulled up. He's only 12-1 shot actually in the big one at Christmas. It's going to be a fascinating race, and that brings us on to yet another grade one. It's just quality after quality after quality, and this is going to be really, really good renewal as well of the Patrick Warden Company's Solicitors Irish Arkle Novice Chase, which last year went to a horse we've just mentioned.
Notebook and Cashback to the final fence. There's nothing in it. Notebook and Cashback, followed by Gallant John Joe and Mellon inside the final 200 yards. Notebook is having to work. Cashback is giving it socks on the rail. 100 yards to go. Notebook from Cashback as they run towards the finish. Notebook will take it to four wins in the 2 mile novice chase division. Cashback is second, and again second, Gallant John Joe third, then Mellon, Royal Rendezvous and Bapom.
What do you like, Gavin?
I think the first thing to talk about is the pace in the race. Obviously, Willie has Black Bow in it. He's got Unaccepted and he has Enigramine. So they like to be up there. Again, Willie will talk to the jockeys involved and we'll sort it all out. But the race that happened at Christmas where Felix Deji just lost the plot and went way, way, way too fast. And the next thing, halfway down the back, Darver Stars in front. That was just a crazy race. It was probably the maddest race of the season. So I think Felix Deji is going to have a huge say in this. Enigramine hasn't been taken on in front. He's going to love the ground. He looks an exceptional horse. He looks the main danger to Shishkin for the Arkle. I won't have a bet in this race either, Johnny. I think 4-5 is a little bit short for the Fav, but I don't see, you know, maybe Darver Star each way, or if Franco Deport was ridden out the back again, maybe he could stay on to be placed. But hard to beat the favourite. I just wonder, will he get taken on?
Dukey?
Yes, similar to Gavin. I really don't know what to make of that race over Christmas, because Felix, maybe he did go off too fast, but then he appeared to spit the dummy out down the back and then run on again. And maybe Darvers was left in front a bit too soon. But as Gavin mentioned, with this race seems to be loaded with pace. It's hard to believe anything will lead Enigramine. But Franco Deport, it was a massive career best over Christmas. So I am a little bit concerned that he was flattered. But the market seems to have dismissed him again. And he's going to relish the ground. He's going to potter around out the back off this strong pace. He might just be without the favourite. You'll even get three places currently as things stand without the favourite or an each way play. He would be my nominal play in the race.
Of course, we did have a laugh recently about Willie's column where he said Unaccepted is a good horse over 2 miles as well. So it will be interesting to see if he turns up. And that was only the other day, which almost implied that Willie wasn't exactly sure himself if one of his horses were going to run in this. But it's another horse of his that I want to bring up here, Black Bow. Because somebody was saying to me about the ride that this horse got at Nace last time. And David Mullins, I think, was compelled not to retire afterwards, but obviously to talk to the stewards. This was before David retired, very unexpectedly at the age of 24. But he was called in by the stewards. Now, we had a bit of a chat about this horse prior to Christmas, where the two of you basically roundly dismissed him. And he fell in the race, a race that he might well have won because it fell apart. But that was all well and good. But then he was beaten 28 lengths by Enigramine at Nace. Is he just soft, Gavin?
Yeah, the thing that would worry me about Black Bow is that he never even won a maiden hurdle. he was quite impressive over fences in Navan. He beat a horse of JP's in second. I think there was lots of JP's in that one. I don't think it was the most competitive race ever. I'm sure he'd be in the first three after a couple of furlongs on Saturday. As you say, he wasn't put into the race in ace whatsoever. It turned out to be, I think, David's last ride. I wouldn't be a huge fan, but I could see him running a good race, yeah.
I don't know what to make of this race, but I think that it's definitely worth a good bit of analysis because you have a hot favourite, as Gavin mentions. I think he's the best horse in the race, but the pace angle is definitely interesting. And I've kind of gone off Darver Star with his last couple of performances. Captain Guinness in there as well, who he didn't run that badly at Nace, and this race might be run a little bit differently for him. Arguably one of the races of the festival, I would have said, Gavin.
I know, it definitely is. Captain Guinness would prefer if the ground was better, because Rachel said after Nace, I'd love to take on Erin Gamine again, but on good ground. The ground is definitely going to be soft to heavy on Saturday. There's a bit of rain coming every day. Definitely a race to watch. I might have a bet in running, depending on what happens with the pace angle, to be honest.
We're nearly halfway through the card, and as February came upon us there recently, Juki, it recalled Thomas Kinsella's poem, Mirror in February, and it did compel me to ask myself, how is my February going in lockdown? And then that made me think about you, because your kind of running commentary on your life during lockdown has been very entertaining. How have you been since we spoke to you at Christmas?
Well, it's a curious thing. I mean, I'm 3 weeks overdue a haircut and 10 months overdue a trip to the races. So that's bad. But I had an exceptional January financially. I back in winners left, right. Actually, I lost a few quid yesterday and I nearly fell over in shock because January had gone so well. Golf winners, horse winners. It might well be the best month I've ever had, which is strange because I'm still very sad because things are abysmal. But if you wanted to just fumble in the greasy till, that's another poetry reference. Is it? Okay. Yeah. Well, if you just wanted to fumble in the greasy till, I'm absolutely bobbing it.
Good man, Juki.
I mean, bringing up Yates in this show, and it's not actually the stallion or a horse who ran at Leopardstown back in the day. I mean, that is the caliber of intellect you're talking about here. One other thing I didn't even say, I must be 4 or 5 months without a haircut at this age, because I didn't get one when I actually had the opportunity before
rookie mistake.
Terrible. But yeah. Juki, finally, I do remember you saying the words "me likey" when you saw that girl that you were going to possibly go on a date with, and you saw her in a bikini at the 40 foot. Did that work out or no?
Oh, I mean, call the Scooby Gang, Johnny, because I have a ghost story for you. So the girl is flat out in work, granted, right? So, and we had met for the first time. Do you remember there was a brief window there around Christmas when you were allowed to go out and have a drink or what have you, and everyone went out, and things were a little bit awkward early because we'd all forgotten how to socialise in lockdown, and then there was a few drinks had later on back in someone's house. And I remember there was Prosecco. So, I mean, all bets are off with that. So she gave me her number, and then she hadn't contacted me. So I just sent her a text to say, listen, Prosecco was drunk. We were all out of practice with socializing. If you regret giving me your number, that's no problem at all. It's a game for grown-ups. She says, no, I'm delighted I gave you my number. I'm a bit busy at the moment, but we'll meet up for coffee over Christmas. Not a dicky bird since, Johnny. Ghosted. I've been ghosted.
She's playing hard to get, Juki.
Well, she's playing it with the wrong man, because I've cut all ties.
Maybe you should send her that clip of Gavin Lynch.
Maybe, but I'm like, the pod is already using Gavin as a human shield, so I don't want to stretch him too thin, Johnny.
Let's get on to the Matson Handicap Chase. This is a difficult one, Duke. Antuca is a fascinating horse for me. I think he could well win the Grand Annual. I thought the ride he got at Ferry House last year was interesting, to say the least. He's been very consistent, although he hasn't actually won a race over fences yet. Is he your idea of the winner? Could well be favourite, I would have thought.
Yes, Pontavenne and him, I'd imagine, will be up there in the betting. I didn't really see a lot wrong with the ride in Ferry House. He just seemed to miss fences at a crucial stage, which was But he's a 7-year-old of 138. I can definitely see the case for him. I was just leaning towards Emily Moon. She was heavily backed over Christmas, and I think her supporters can feel a little bit of disaggrieved. I think Paddy Kenny probably lost the run of himself and hit the front too soon, probably cost her the race. Now, she's got £3 for finishing third, which isn't ideal, but that was probably a decent race, similar to this. I thought she would be my play in the race.
I'd nearly back her, and it wouldn't surprise me if either her or Ted Walsh's Kildare were among the last off the bridle and neither actually placed. Kildare doesn't find anything on this ground, and she just finds a little bit more. I don't think Paddy Kennedy gave it a great ride, Gavin, the last day, but God, she didn't find anything into the bargain.
Yeah, I backed Emily Moon, and I laid it and run in because she does the same thing every time. She travels unbelievable. Now, far be it from me to give out a bit of mare, but... yeah, look at you're going to get great.
They're all over the place today.
You're going to get a great run for your money with Emily Moon, but I just don't think she'll win. She'll look a win or two out, and just if you do back her at 10 or 12 to 1, make sure you lay her at 3 to 1 in running because you'll probably get matched. Antukas and Aramax. Antukas, to me, everybody's talking about the Grand Annual. I just don't know if his jumping's good enough. Aramax and him, is this their Derby? Is the Grand Annual more of their plan, or maybe even the Galway played for Aramax? I'd like Pontivan, particularly when he steps up to 2.5 mile. The horse I'm going to back in this is Epson de Hoo, number 4, carrying 10-13, 7-year-old novice for Henry. I was very impressed the last day in Naas. It had won a bad race in Clonmel, but it jumped out to its left. So obviously it has to go left-handed. I think it got £13 from 125 up to 138. He looks like an old-fashioned chaser, a bit like Eclat de Rear that won the other day, and jumps for fun. We'll love the ground, no problem with the trip. So yeah, Epson de Hoo each way for me.
Yeah, and Henry de Bronte training for Jigginstown.
Just one other thing, Johnny, I forgot to mention there. Sorry. The Shunter, if he jumps well, I'll definitely back him in running if he jumps the first 6 or 7 fences well, because he's chucked in off 132, a horse that won the Great World Hurdle. So
yeah, he's probably not a horse that's entirely straightforward, and his jumping hasn't been absolutely foot perfect so far in his three chase starts, whatever it is. But best luck to Paul Byrne there with him. He's a horse who has proven to be a brilliant, brilliant purchase, it has to be said. This brings us on to the Chanel Pharma Irish Champion Hurdle. And as a special treat, we're not going to only give you commentary from last year, but here are three of the greats in prior years.
Racing down to the final flight now, and Ruby Walsh hard at work on the Brave Brave Inca, but Muirhead and Barry Geraghty come there on the near side. They're over the last, and Brave Inca still digging deep inside the last 200 yards, and it's Brave Inca from Muirhead and River Leanne as they run up towards the finish. It's Brave Inca who's going to win the Toshiba Irish Champion. Brave Inca's back. In second place is Muirhead, Riverley and third, Sublimity back in fourth, and then Hardy Eustace, Larkwing, Beaumichael and Swiftmark. And there's 4 in a line as they raced for the final flight in the BHB Insurance Irish Champion Hurdle. In the centre, Hurricane Fly. O'Connor is coming there in the centre. Jezky is ridden on the outside. Coming down to the final flight, Hurricane Fly. O'Connor put in a tremendous jump on the near side. They're racing inside the last 150 yards. O'Connor, Hurricane Fly is hard ridden on the inside. He's coming back. He's battled like a demon to win it for the fourth time. And Hurricane Fly wins. Grade number 119. What a horse. Beats off our Connor, who ran a cracking race, followed in by the other pair. What a race. Hurricane Fly beating our Connor. Racing now towards the final flight, and Fahane and Ruby Walsh are 10 lengths in front of Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon, and over the last, Fahane untidy, but he's clear from Arctic Fire, and racing up towards the finish, Fahane has undoubtedly settled the score with Nichols Canyon as the top hurdler around Wincy's first PHP Insurance's Irish Champion Hurdle. Fahane all the way, a very easy winner. But it's Honeysuckle, the leader at the final flight over. Penny Mouchoir is renewing his effort on the near side. Inside the final 100 yards, Darver Star, the underdog, is finishing strongly as well. Going towards the line, Honeysuckle, racing's new first lady, has won the PCI Irish Champion from Darver Star. Penny Mouchoir, Super Sunday, Aramon and Sharjah.
Great old memories, Gavin.
Yeah, fantastic. It's I was just looking there. It's hard to believe that Hurricane Fly won the race 5 years in a row, which is amazing, really. But some fantastic hurdlers over the years, yeah.
Right, Juki, this race is six runners, and probably we can say with some confidence that Honeysuckle is going to be prominent. She may not get a run with Petit Mouchoir up there. I quite like Saldier here, because I think as much as he was beaten 32 lengths on his return the last day, that was his first run in over a year. He ran very fresh, and he ran far better than that would suggest. He's actually banged there two out, and he was basically eased by Paul Townend. He kind of looked after him. He's only a seven-year-old, which is kind of hard to believe. He's been around for a while. He was obviously a juvenile hurdler who didn't see much action as a juvenile hurdler. Showed he was very good in beating Petit Mouchoir at Punchestown in November of last year. As I'm looking here, he's about a 14-1 shot, and I think you can pick a hole in a lot of these. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I can. I'm nearly tempted to just throw a dart at something at a price. I'm not sure. I probably won't have a bet here. I just want to take on Honeysuckle. I mean, 11-8, she's just fallen in Fairy House. She fell in Cheltenham. Granted, she beat Benny. She fell in this race last year against Darver Star. It's okay form, but it's not brilliant. And she's 11-8, so she looks a bit short to me. I mean... I think if Sharjah repeats the run over Christmas when he won the Matheson, that'll be good enough here. Now, there is a bit of a concern about what happened last year. I was talking to some people on Twitter about this, and they were saying he's an inconsistent sort. He's not really. He's been a model of consistency over hurdles. He's disappointed a couple of times on the flat, but maybe that doesn't get his juices flowing or these days. But bar that run in this race last year, which is a concern, he's basically been a model of consistency over hurdles. And I was a bit dismissive of him over Christmas because I thought the ground had gone against him, but he handled the ground fine. I find it hard to believe it'll be any softer on Saturday. So Sharjah, probably, if I am going to have a bet in the race, and I'm undecided whether I am, he would probably be my bet in the race.
This is the beauty of a race like this, because if you are a forgiving type, you look at the prices that Saint-Raw has been sent off this season, 4-7, 10-11, 13-8, and now you're getting 7-1. Like, Saint-Raw should be Honeysuckle over 2 miles, to my mind. Problem is, he doesn't necessarily jump well enough. The thing for Honeysuckle, I think, which would be in her favour, Gavin, is that the ground here will be proper testing, particularly at this stage of the card. That'll bring her stamina into play. She's a fantastic attitude, an absolutely brilliant attitude to racing, which can't be said for the likes of Abacadabras and maybe one or two others in this race. Is she a lay for you? Because I guess if she's kind of banged there at the last, you will get worried.
I think the two of you have summed up this race perfectly, and I'm like Juki. I want to lay Honeysuckle simply because I think she's a 2.5 mile mare. Two of her 9 wins have been over 2 miles, the rest have been over further. Her jumping is a bit high and a bit slow, so the thing that's going to save her is the ground. If the ground was good to yield, then I think she'd be definitely one to oppose. The soft to heavy ground will suit her. Sharge, as we know, should be 4 out of 4 at Christmas time, but he's run at this Spring Festival twice last year, and even before against Sam Crow and was poor. But I think something will beat Honeysuckle. What it'll be, I don't know. Maybe Sharjah, because it beat the others at Christmas. But Abacadabras was obviously sick. San Juan, they couldn't believe it got beat at Christmas. Maybe his jump will be better out of when they go in soft to heavy ground. I don't know, Johnny, but I want to take on Honeysuckle.
It's going to be an unbelievably good race to watch from a tactical perspective. Yeah. And I suppose if you're into the fairer sex as well, which is a questionable comment, really considering the antics of one of the members of the show, or if not all three, actually. We do hope some women are listening in, though, because we certainly need more.
Tell me
more.
This, Johnny, who do you think will lead, Petit Mouchoir or Honeysuckle? One of the two, won't it?
Yeah. I'll give one thing to Rachel Blackmore. She's a very good tactical rider. She's not going to go completely insane if Petit Mouchoir is up there making it a ridiculous test. But she's not quick enough, I think, to not be up there. So I don't know the answer. I don't think there'll be an awful lot between them.
Maybe she'll take second.
All joking aside, what an ambassador she's been for racing. And she just gets the job done. And it'll be a big win for her on Honeysuckle if that does work out. An awful lot of JP McManus horses, lads, in the 350, the Ladbrokes hurdle. A race that obviously has had a few monikers down the years, a race I'm very fond of. I think it actually as much as it's a brilliant race, it kind of half gets lost in this card. And that's not to say that doesn't enhance the card, because it's a fantastic race, but it's really, really tough. A horse I like here, Gavin Lynch, is West Cork Wildway, because I think this is going to be an extremely strong running of the race, tactically wise. There's a massive field. The ground is going to be testing. This is a good bumper horse. He definitely wants further than 2 miles, but I think his stamina will come into play. I got a tip for Advance Virgo this morning on WhatsApp. I'm sure Charles Burns would be delighted that lads are sending tips for his horses 2 days before they run. What are you liking, Gavin?
West Park Wildway, as you say, ran over 3 miles, so no problem with staying. I definitely know what Juki's going to pick anyway. Definitely.
Yeah. You do. I'm nothing if not predictable.
What do you like, Juki?
I like the My Glass Flyer. Gavin knew what was coming here.
Yeah.
Now, it must be said that he was not dead in the betting by any means the last day. So I'm not sure how much he's going to come on fitness-wise, but it was his first run for a year and significantly... well, he ran well in Navan, but I felt like he blew up that day in Navan, and then he definitely did come forward when he won in Leopardstown. Now, significantly, when he won in Leopardstown, Mark Walsh was in the plate, and he gave him an absolute worldie of a ride. Made up, because the horse can make mistakes, but he made up his mind from at every hurdle. Mark Walsh back in the plate. That Leopardstown run behind Master McShee, did suffer a knock in Clonmel the other day, but I reckon it's red hot form. I think he'll improve a little bit, and I'm convinced that the horse is at least 10 pounds well in. Walsh back in the plate, the My Glass Flyer will do for me.
And of course, Gavin, this horse is by Galileo, who had some great days at Leopardstown, and he's out of Lewis Lyon, and the Lewis Lyon, of course, basically runs through the racetrack. Very so good. What's it like?
Say that again? What?
As I said, he's by Galileo, who obviously had some great days. Leopardstown, and he's out of Lewis Lyon, and the Lewis actually runs by the track.
It does. That's a big coincidence, yeah. My Glass Flyer has to have a good chance. The two I would probably take in it is, I think he's a hardy bloke, is a very, very nice horse. He's in here off 134 carrying 10.13. It was impressive, both his last runs, particularly the last day in Cork. Travels very, very strongly. Will love the fact that there's a big field around him. He'll be delivered late. He handles the ground. And the other one is Advanced Virgo, trained by none other than the man for January, Charles Burns. He was interviewed there. He hasn't had many winners the last month or two, but he had a winner in Fairy House. And he was asked, because he's won this race the last 3 years in a row. And he said that, Advanced Virgo, he said he'll have a big chance in the race. Can you do a Charles Burns impression? Go on, Johnny, please.
If I give you a tip now, Gavin, it'll be sort of after the race, no, not before. So,
and you think there's a good chance in this race, Charles?
Yeah, we'll see after the race now. So, you know, so
in fairness, that record is unbelievable. Like, this is an extremely competitive handicap. The man is gifted at training horses to peak on a day. But I was told by the great Will Haler to try to brevity to be the soul of my wish, to quote a bit of Hamlet there, GK.
All right.
We've rabbited on a bit, which brings us on to the Goss Future Stars bumper. And this race is obviously notable for Sir Gerard not running in it, although there was sort of implications from the betting during the week that might happen. Kilcrood was a horse who was back, Gavin, and will he have your money in this race?
Yeah, I'm going to back Kilcrood, and I'll probably do a double with Gallard Dumanil in the first. This is an excellent race. Chemical Energy's form's got a boost with the second horse on Eagle's Wings winning since. Remiles was impressive. Noble Yates was very, very impressive over 2 mile 3 in Thurles. Those four obviously are standing out, the first four in the betting. But I think the vibes are, David Jennings said the other day in Up in the Ante that he was talking to David Mullins and he adores Kilcrood. And I'll back him.
Juki?
Hard race to have a strong opinion on. I really love that Ramillies. I loved him in Leopardstown 2 Christmases ago when I saw him. He was a short price failure that day, but he's a really strong horse. They mentioned that he carried a lot of condition when he won the Christmas just gone by. Now, he is quite a deep girth horse, so I wouldn't necessarily read too much into that, but he's going to come forward massively. But you can really see the Rosalier in him. His dam is by Rosalier. He's a lovely attitude. He'll relish the ground. And at 5-1, he'd be my play in the race.
I just see there that Patrick has picked Kilcrood, but that doesn't always work out.
Isn't it just beautiful, Gavin, though, to hear Juki invoke the passages of time there, the Rosalier in the dam, and a reminder that as much as these are trying times. You know, life is long, and you know, we will get back to days where we will be on the Lewis line, or in a taxi, or getting a lift from someone. Maybe even somebody who's you know, going to give us a tip for a winner on the way to the racetrack, and maybe all these you know, we'll have some good days ahead.
Yeah, was he Duke? He's in good form because he's had a brilliant January. He's winning money. So life is not too bad, you see.
Do remember to gamble responsibly over the Dublin Race Festival, but it is now time to get the nap selections off the two lads. And let's start with you, Juki.
Ashdale Bob, 105.
Gavin?
Galar de Menil, 105.
Oh.
I'm going to give mine as West Cork Wild. We had a price in the second last. Lads, it's been brilliant to have both of you on. I thought you were great altogether, to be honest. I hope we have some 50-second video that we can send from this and go viral on WhatsApp. And, of course, we will be back for the second leg of this on Friday. Presuming you're okay to show up again, lads?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, you have a captive audience, Johnny.
This is it. Thank you for listening, and we will chat to you tomorrow.